Okie doke, folks. Let's pray and maybe do a few squats and star jumps and burpees and warm up. Amen. Let's pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this new day, and thank you, Father, for the life and health and strength you've given us, for the sunshine, for the availability, for the faithfulness. Lord, I pray that you would take and use this time to speak to each one of us, to work on our hearts and minds. Lord, if there's any wee rough patches there, I pray that you would work on. Pray you do it this time, Lord, for those that are having difficult times, especially those that are mourning the loss of loved ones, like especially on the families that were involved in the Creusa explosion, Lord. That hit so very close to home, the families even that lost the two young fellows there a month or two back. I pray you, please, that this would be an opportunity for them to draw a little bit closer to you, to hear the gospel. For our sister churches, Lord, wherever they might be, I pray you for Black Creek and Grace Bible. I pray for Ed Bissett and the folks in Temple Patrick, for Stan and the folks up in Bangor. I pray, Lord, for your children, wherever they might be, for those that are preaching the gospel, Lord, that they would preach the gospel. For those that are standing at the front of churches, Lord, that they'd be constrained and inspired, and the words given to them, Lord, and the messages that they need to bring. Regardless of what the notes say, Lord, that your will would be done. And we pray, Father, for your presence here this morning, for ourselves, for Pat and Steve, for Charlotte, for Colin. And I pray, Lord, for our private prayer request. You know all of the things that is going on in the world. I pray, Lord, that you would be able to constrain and convict our leaders. And, Lord, remind them of doing the right thing. Not because it will make them richer, but because it's the right thing to do. Lord, we really do need you, especially as these days go on. We pray your good hand upon us at this time. We love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. One we haven't sung for a little while. Number 60 in the big books. That is face to face. Someday it will be face to face.
Well,
a hymn or two, on about 160 or 70, the number 234, will sing, "He is so precious to me." That the song has been on my mind for a couple of days. Whenever we were out tracking yesterday, I was listening and humming that, and it took me a minute or two to actually remember what the title of it was, but I'd like for us all to join in on that. We'll stand as we sing, "He is so precious to me."
Thank you. Mark reading this from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of this. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, and we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs, that Christ, if so, be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the heir's expectation of the creature willeth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be divided from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We are saved. By hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit is also helpeth our infirmities. For we know that not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And ye know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom we did foreknow, we also did predestine to be formed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for his slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Excellent verses there, some that are always close to my heart. Just want to take a wee minute or two and remind everybody of our prayer list. Don't forget, make sure you have one of those wee red ones. I've got a couple of prayer requests on this. First of all, please do pray that Ling's car accident and all the vehicles, etc., etc., get sorted out post haste. Please also pray for Ling and Dr. Shine. They're going over to Frank's graduation ceremony on Wednesday and back on Thursday. So please do pray for them as they travel, and Frank too, as he takes this final step into adulthood. So please pray for Frank. Down with Pat and Steve yesterday, and Pat was asking for prayer for her sister Florence, who is due for an operation very soon. She has had, I think, a history with cancer. So please do pray for that as well. Please also pray for Steve. He's just not doing the best as regards his legs and his back. I think he took a reaction to one of his medications and he broke out all over his body. And it takes a while for the injuries to the skin because of that to clear up. So please do pray for him. And I would ask you that you would also pray for my niece. Broke her foot playing hockey yesterday. I think the hockey ball hit her, and those things are like hit her on the foot. We thought it was torn ligaments at the first, but reckon she's broken a bone in the foot. So please do pray for her. And do pray for the families involved in that explosion in Priestland. That is very, very sad. Lastly, do pray for our car as well. It's been off the road now for a couple of months, and the mechanic is goodness, he's desperate at the moment. So if anybody knows a good VW mechanic, let me know. I would be like jumping ship quicker than you could snap your fingers, nearly. There was something else I was to mention. Yes, we were out tracking yesterday, and Will had a couple of opportunities to speak to a couple of people. So pray for those people. We didn't get any news, but the Lord knows who they are. So we'll appreciate prayers for them as well. One fellow was an atheist. He didn't know the Bible at all. All he knew was what all the other atheists say about the Bible. And one wee lady was not very happy about Will putting a leaflet in through her door and told him not to come back. I'll be back. We're going to Arnold her. He'll be back. And please do pray for her. That's the witnesses on Saturday morning. And pray for me as well, as Monica has to go up to the present light. They much appreciate those if you would. All right. Well, would you lead us in any word of prayer if you would?
Dear Father, thank this day, Lord, and thank for keeping it warm and nice, Lord, and clear, Lord, day, a nice clear morning, Lord. And thanks for keeping the rain off us yesterday, Lord, we were delivering tracks to the doors, Lord. It meant a lot, and the tracks were available to be put in at the houses, Lord. Use it mightily to use it to people who will pick up the tracks, Lord, and their families, Lord, and they may convict them of their sin, Lord, and save them from a hellfire destination should they decide to refuse this Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, Lord. Just the man, the woman who yesterday, Lord, you might use it and roads and tracks and roads into their life, Lord, and especially the woman, Lord, that you might use your providence, Lord, to set people in our path, Lord, to talk about Jesus, Lord, and to try to save her with her and her household as well. We've asked and Barbara for Colin and Charlotte, Lord, with Colin's over in Ukraine, Lord, to have any trouble in journey, guidance and also protecting and guiding the Lord as well, Lord. We've also saved Memphis Ask as well, Lord. We're sure that she's away in our attendance, Lord, for any trouble to be safe and well, Lord. I bring her into the house next point in time. I draw her close to walk me. Also remember Frank, as well as his graduation, protecting and guiding, Lord, and grateful him and helping his graduation, Lord, and help him reach that milestone as well, Lord. But also help him in his walk with the Lord as well, Lord. Save Stephen, Carl, and John, Lord, save their souls mightily and powerfully, Lord, and draw them back to your church, Lord, and save their souls, Lord. Give Pat and Steve, Lord, give Pat give her respite, give her strength, and give support, Lord, and help her as she supports Steve, Lord. With Stephen in his life, Lord, take away the rash, take away the pain, the suffering, the discomfort, Lord, and give him some sleep, Lord, and give him some rest as well, Lord, and give him as he saved us as well, Lord. Bless this day, Lord. Also bless John Bradfield. John, help him, Lord, and guide him along, push him walk way along his path, hopefully, Lord. Keep him safe as well, Lord. Bless us all, Lord. And Lord, help us to have a joyful and restful Sabbath, Lord. And Josh, push him walk way and may the sermons today be both a blessing and guidance and a gift, Lord, from me, Lord. And that we may draw closer to thee, Lord, and may we bless. A great point is for Jesus Christ to pay.
Amen. Thank you, Rob. All right, let's take our little hymn books this time, if you would. Join me at. Nope, not going to sign that one. Not the little hymn books after all. Did I see It Pays to Serve Jesus out?
You did.
And you wanted to sing that this morning?
I wouldn't mind.
Okay, we have a special request for a hymn so special that I've never actually sung it before. 386. If anybody knows it, sign up. If they don't, just join in as we go. Yeah, we'll play an introductory verse.
We bore the erring ones.
do 232. 232. That's a, oh, that's only our fourth time, isn't it? Yeah.
Good job.
Glad someone's keeping track. Tell me the story of Jesus.
Just some guy in the house.
Tell me the story of Jesus will remain seated as we sing. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Amen. 2nd Chronicles chapter 15. And I want to take a few minutes this morning and maybe a minute or two this afternoon and speak on the subject of not just the king. Not just the king. want to read about 19 verses of, well, that's the whole chapter, is it? Yep, that's the whole chapter of 2 Chronicles 13. It's all relevant to the message this morning, and I hope and pray this will be a help to you. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, beginning at verse number 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and he said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you, while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel had been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city. For God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words, and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and the strangers with them, out of Ephraim and Manasseh, and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in bonds, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. But whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa cut down her idol, and stamped it, and burned it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days, and he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Amen. Those handful of verses right smack dab in the middle of that, verses 8 through 13. That is our text this morning. Might even be this evening too. And we're speaking on the subject of not just the king. Not just the king. Let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we will continue on. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time in your presence. And I pray, Lord, that you would be one of our number, that you would be our personal teacher and tutor, our guide, as we take a wee look at not just this piece of history, but, Lord, how these lessons that I pray we would learn apply to us too. We love you and thank you. Pray that you would open the understanding of all of your children everywhere, that you would embolden us and make us wise, especially as these days go on. We love you and praise you, and we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, God. Amen. Amen. This is the book of 2 Chronicles, and it keeps a list of the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel, and makes a note of all the things that they get up to for good and bad. Normally speaking, whenever 1st, 2nd Chronicles and 1st and 2nd Kings go, it normally introduces the king, and then it says one of two things. they either did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, or that they did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Thankfully, Asa did that which was pretty much right in the sight of the Lord. He was one of the great grandchildren of Solomon. He didn't have a great family life, and he had this very bad example of his great granddad having 1,000 wives and concubines, and that unfortunately filtered down through the scriptures. So even though they were chosen of God, they still made bad decisions. But if we bring it a little bit more up to date for Asa, he was renowned as being, you know, a pretty decent king. And God was working with him. And even if you only have to go back a chapter, and you see how that when Asa was setting up the kingdom of Judah, or maintaining the kingdom of Judah, that the king of Ethiopia came against him with 1,000,000 men. I think it says, where does it say? Can't quite see it there. I don't know the reference. It should be here somewhere. Where are you, Ethiopia? Anyway.
Chapter 14.
There it is there. I'm looking right at it. And my eyes were looking right at it, and all I saw was 300 chariots. Verse number 9. Thank you, Will. The king of Ethiopia came against the king of Judah. I think he had like maybe 500,000 men. The king of Judah, king of Ethiopia, came at him with 1,000,000 men. And the very next verse, in verse 11, tell us that whenever Asa realized this situation, the Bible says he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord said, you just go ahead. And the Lord actually attacked and decimated the Ethiopians, and the children of Judah chased after them and took all of their supplies and their equipment. And I think they pretty much wiped out the army. And the Bible records that they were never able to come back from that beating again. God had literally fought for them in front of nearly 1.5 million men, proved that he existed, and Asa, he started doing something that a lot of people fail to do, and that's actually saying, hold on a wee second, where is it that I stand with God? Now, there were a number of those victories, and each time he appealed to God, and each time God gave him the victory. But then he came to the point when he said, and one of the things that if you read through Kings and Chronicles is that the people tended to follow the king. Whoever the king was, the people would follow him. So if he was a bad king, the people would follow the bad king and all of his bad habits. If he was a great king, the people would follow the great king and all his good habits. Asa made this, you know, it's not a startling discovery, it's common sense to us today. But Asa stood with all of the people, and they made this great covenant with the Lord that not just the king should seek the will of the Lord, but that everybody should seek the will of the Lord, whether they be small or great. In fact, such was the impact of God working in his life that Asa said, if anybody doesn't, they should be put to death. And it doesn't matter who they are. So, he said, that's where the title for the message comes, not just the king, but also everybody in the kingdom. They should take all of their idols, because that's just the way things go with us, idols and false teachings and things, they can creep into our lives very, very quickly. However, we notice, and we don't have to go very much farther, the impact of this upon the people. Because bear in mind that just about every man of fighting age had seen what God had done to the Ethiopians. There were, what did he say, 700 oxen brought by way of sin offerings and praise, and 7,000 sheep, a great sacrifice made unto God, because God had, well, proved themselves to be his God, But not only that, they were showing outwardly that they were his people. A verse or two later, however, we see that his mother, the king, the queen, she set up an idol in a grove, but something didn't happen to her. She wasn't put to death the way they had covenanted earlier on. Now, after this, there was a great peace in the country. The peoples around about obviously heard of it, and they didn't want to get any of that action, so they left Judah alone. Until years later, one of the kings of Israel, it's sad that the Israel and Judah used to fight so much, but one of them represented, Israel represented worldly Christians, and Judah represented the people of God. Things started to go downhill. They were given peace on every side, plenty to go around, and they sort of forgot God. Whenever they had everything at their fingertips, they forgot God. They had peace, they had food, they had security. They forgot about God. And they were attacked by the king of Israel. But unlike the Asa of years previously, instead of crying out to God and asking God for help, he sent and hired, let me just make sure I get his name right, Ben-Hadad, I think it was the king of Syria or one of those places, to come and help him against Baasha, the king of Israel. And to get a true vision of how bad things had gotten just in those few years, after Ben-Hadad came against the king of Israel, Baasha, Baasha went away and they celebrated the victory, but one of the prophets of God, God put his hand on him and said, I want you to go and tell Asa that because he did not appeal to God for help at this time, but rather chose to go it alone and do it his own way, he would have wars on every side for the rest of his life. He would end up fighting for the rest of his life because he would not depend upon the Lord. Things had gotten so bad, and they had departed so far from God, that Asa didn't thank the man of God for making this observation. He actually locked him up. And he went about persecuting many of the people that believed on the Lord. Instead of getting himself right with God and repenting, he persecuted those that pointed out his error. And that just goes to show you that even Christians can make mistakes, and Christians can fall away from the Lord. And it's not just up to the king. It's not just up to the church leaders to walk and talk with God. It's up to each and every one of us. I have a handful of points I'd like to share with you. First one is to seek the Lord. The second one is to make it personal. The third one is to follow the Lord. And the fourth one is to keep following the Lord, to maintain your Christian life. Like the children of Judah, we should always be seeking the Lord. Whenever you stop seeking the Lord and start relying on your own wisdom and the things that you can see, you fail to take advantage of all of the things going on that God can see and that God can influence. And God he's not happy to let you go and do that, but he will let you go and do that. First of all, make sure that your soul is saved. Seek the Lord. Understand. If you're lost, understand that you're lost. Understand that you do not have God as your Savior. And understand that your eternity at the moment consists of the broad road that leads to hell and then hell in the lake of fire forever. So you need to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord because all of the events that are taking place in the world right now were recorded in the Bible so that you can know and understand that God is the author of the Bible and his escape What does the Bible say? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? That his escape from the judgment that's coming to this world and to each and every person in the world is to trust in his Son Christ Jesus, having repented of your sins. Seek the Lord. Whether it's early in each day, early in life, or early in every endeavor, ask for God's opinion. And when he gives it, follow it. The next thing is to make it personal. I know there's a lot going on in the world right now. There's a lot of people running about, and there's a lot of people talking about governments and politicians and things that are going on in the country. And let's be honest, it's not a very great story right now. But make it personal. Make this Christian life that you have been offered, make this salvation that is out there, make it yours. Just because you're living in or were born in a Christian country does not make you a Christian. Just because you have Christian parents does not make you a Christian. If it was all about the most people, if you like, if it was a vote about everybody being a Christian, you would be a Christian. Because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they all want you to be a Christian. All of God's holy angels, and there are twice as many of the holy angels as there were of those that turned to follow Lucifer, they want you to be a Christian. And everybody that is in hell, they want you to be a Christian. And everybody that's in heaven, they want you to be a Christian. So really, the vote would go in your favor and you would have to become a Christian. But that's not the way it works. You have to make the decision. You have to choose to repent of your sins and trust Christ as their Savior. Even as your Savior. Even as far back in the Old Testament as Ezekiel. It's not a New Testament doctrine. In Ezekiel 18 and 32, this is what God said to the prophet Ezekiel, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. In other words, a lost man going into a Christless eternity does not make me happy. That is not my plan. I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. In other words, repent. You repent. And you trust in me as your Savior, and you will live forever and ever, walking the streets of gold in the company of all of the people we mentioned earlier on. Instead of having the law of the land telling you to behave like a Christian, you can have the Holy Spirit with you all the time, providing every single thing you need to be a Christian. Tell you what's right and wrong and remind you, as promised by the Lord Almighty, the Lord Jesus, that the Holy Spirit will be your comforter and your teacher. He'll remind you at any given time. It'll come from inside instead of a policeman with a day stick. And those lessons and those teachings we need to apply to our lives. These rules that the Lord has laid down in his word and divinely protected are for us. They're not for King Charles, first time he's been mentioned in the church service. They're not for our parents, and they're not, not just for the king, and not just for the politicians, and not just for the preachers, and not just for our parents, and not just for our teachers or our law enforcement agencies. They're for us, for each and every person. And we most certainly need it. And they're not to ruin our lives. They're to stop our, in quotes, fun from ruining us. Just want you to think for a moment and consider that most of the things that people consider to be fun in these days are actually very harmful to mind, body, and soul. If anyone recalls to mind the parable of the mustard seed, different to all of the other trees of the forest, but the birds of the air still make their nests in it. The Christian life is different, but it is that dots all the I's and crosses all the T's of those things that make up a satisfying and full life. The Lord has a life for us, different to the life of those not saved, but far, far better. We need to make it personal. We need to make it personal. If you don't make it personal, you don't get any of the things that God has for those that love Him. Norman was reading from Romans 8 and 28 this morning that says everything will work out for the best to those that love the Lord and to those that obey Him, to those that are called according to His purpose. So it has to come from inside, not from someone standing behind you, poking you and prodding you in the right direction. We need to follow the Lord. Not just read and turn up at church and listen to the very eloquent and very easily understood and easily digestible messages that I bring. Not just have an encyclopedic knowledge of the Word of God, but we need to put it into practice. We need to follow God. I'm sure if I pulled up some of the things in the Bible that God says you shouldn't do, we would all agree with Him. You shouldn't smoke. You shouldn't do drugs. You shouldn't be in a physical relationship with someone of the opposite sex that you're not married to. You shouldn't steal. You shouldn't kill people, although there are people that need to be put to death. You shouldn't murder people. You shouldn't take the Lord's name in vain. You shouldn't curse and swear. And you should be good to your mom and dad. We all know those things, don't we? Most of those come from the commandments. Anybody not heard those before? We've all heard those before. But a Christian, not just a saved soul, puts those things into practice in their own lives. And I used to think that before I started receiving the benefit of the Holy Spirit, I used to wonder, how can a Christian remember all of those things? Because there's a lot of stuff to remember. If you even go back and look at the Old Testament, there are something like over 600 commandments and statutes that the law has for the children of Israel that govern even the type of clothes that they wear and rising damp in a house. It's that comprehensive, to write down to the types of food that they're allowed to eat and those that they shouldn't eat. And it's that's a job, remembering all of those things. But the Lord said, because there's so much goes on and there's so many different voices crying for our attention, He said, I'm going to go so that I can send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and He will remind you of things. He'll bring these things to your memory whenever you have need of them. And that works far better for me, because I don't know if I could run around remembering all the things that I should and shouldn't be doing. We're supposed to practice those things in our lives. This whole country is supposedly Christian. We're supposed to be an example to the Lord, and for hundreds of years we were. Weren't we? We were the nation upon which the sun never set. We were the nation that sent missionaries out across the world, to every corner of the world. We still reap the benefits of our Christian upbringing, our Christian history, our Christian roots. We still can pretty much say and do whatever we like within reason, as long as we're not hurting people or stirring up bother. We can worship on a Sunday. But all of these things are coming under threat the farther and farther we depart from God's teachings in our own hearts and minds. And we can see that with the people day by day. But when you follow the Lord, it pretty much means the same as it did back in Asa's day. It means tearing the idols out of our hearts and out of our lives and putting them to one side. And we really should stick with that. When we were visiting Pat and Steve yesterday, we had a suggestion for a reading in 2 Samuel 22. And here's a promise. This was from David to us about what the Lord had done for him because he had been faithful. He said, "For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect, the word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and my power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. He setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to make war, so the bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and of all things thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip." These are some of the things that God will do for you. He's not going to make you into a trained, unstoppable killer, but into a trained, unstoppable Christian. And when I say unstoppable, that doesn't mean that everything you set your mind to will happen, because you're going to face opposition, but that you will still be a Christian and a better one and a more learned and experienced one come the end of the day, one would hope. And it's not a matter of if trial comes, but when trials come, because trials will come. We need to put the things that God asks us to do into practice, because it's good for us. And the last lesson that from our message this morning is, don't stop. Don't compromise. Don't stop. Regardless of the years, it is more necessary for a Christian that has been a Christian for many years to keep being a Christian and to keep maintaining their Christian life, because there is a very real danger of, just like Asa, relaxing and coming to despise those that preach the gospel and bring God's word to us. It is a matter of keeping those doors open, of keeping that communication going. How many small, not so bad decisions did Asa have to make to get to the point where he hated the man of God? The devil never comes to you and says, let's go out and murder little children. The devil never says that. Because you would know full well, as soon as he came, you would say, that smells like sulfur. Have you got some wee pointy horns in your head? Is that a pitchfork you have in your hand and a pointy tail wriggling around behind you? I'm not going to believe a word that you say. I'm not going to do whatever you say. But that's not the way the devil works. The devil comes as a friend, like a Judas. And he doesn't come with a punch in the face, he comes with a kiss in the cheek, like Judas. And the plan's already been put in place, just like Judas. And he comes asking you to, we're meeting up with a few friends around at my house, why don't you come around? And everybody goes around, and as the evening goes on, there's maybe a beer comes out, but nobody gets really drunk. And so you do that, and you get comfortable with you over a period of a few months, and then they say, well, we're going to go down to the pub, and we're going to get a bite to eat. And we might have a beer or two, but not too much, because we don't want to be rolling drunk. And that might go on for a few months. And you have a good time, because you're out with friends, you think. And then one night, the drinks don't stop with one, they go on to two or three, and then you get invited to take a drink, and you say no, and say, well, have a lemonade with us, and you have a lemonade, and they say, here, have a wee bit of beer in your lemonade, and you can see what it tastes like, and with the lemonade, it doesn't taste too bad. And then before long, you're having beer, and you're drunk, and you shack up with a wee girl one night, or a wee fella one night, and a child is conceived out of wedlock, and you send off on the internet for a little tablet, and that baby gets flushed away down the toilet, and the person thinks that nobody's the wisest, but the devil managed to talk you into killing little children. That's how the devil works. He doesn't come as the devil and entice you to do something that's out and out bad. He comes at you as a friend. And he turns you a little bit at a time, inch by inch. Like boiling a lobster in the pot. You throw a lobster into boiling water and it'll squeal and thrash for a few minutes before it dies. But if you put it in cold water and turn up a gentle heat, it'll not make a sound. It'll just swim around in the pot and it won't even realise until it's boiled that it's in trouble. We need to keep going as Christians. It is so important that we remember the words of the Lord to the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, I don't know about you, I quite enjoy my food, even though it's a bit more limited than what it used to be. When people talk about curries and chilies and stuff like that, I think back to those good old days, but let me tell you, there is no amount of lovely smelling, lovely tasting food that would make me want to spend a night holding my stomach or leaning over a toilet or spend the day in accident emergency. Friends, I've forgotten where I was going with that. I can't recall. We need to keep going. As the devil, the Lord was saying, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We don't eat all our food one day in the year, and the rest of the year we don't eat anything, do we? We quite like our food, and we eat every day. And what the Lord meant when he said what was, we need God every day. I think even as far back as the Psalms, it says that God's mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness day of new every morning. We need to maintain our Christian lives. In the same way that cars need maintenance, the same way that gardens need maintenance, in the same way as our personal hygiene needs maintenance. We need to dance under the shower and we need to rub that nice smelling soap on our bodies so that we're clean and fit for service. So our Christian life needs to be kept going. Don't let your standards slip. Don't forsake the reading of God's word. It's so important that in the book of Hebrews, in the New Testament, Paul said that we were not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Many years ago, whenever I used to do weeding in the garden in the house in Kilfenna, I got bored with the square garden, so I cut like a wave around the garden. I thought that looks quite nice. I did that one day. And then I went the next day and on my hands and knees and I pulled every single weed out of the garden, bags of weeds. And as I went, I broke up the soil and it was beautiful and dark. And I even got a bag or two of peat and threw it in as well. And the plants loved it, had a couple of wee bushes and lots of plain brown soil. And every day I would look at that and I thought, I remembered the work I had done and I remembered the effort that I had gone to and the cutting of the border and this, that and the other. And for weeks and weeks and weeks I just enjoyed the lovely brown soil until one day a little green leaf pokes its head through the soil that wasn't supposed to be there. And I thought, you know, that's not too bad, it's only one. But while I saw one, there were many. And before I knew it, the weeds were all back. And I had to get back out on my hands and knees with a plastic bag and pull all the weeds again. That is our Christian life. It is a living, breathing, growing thing. The weeds will grow there too if we do not take a minute to pull them out. So don't stop. It is great to live in a Christian country, and it's even greater to have Christian family and friends. But these things do not make you a Christian. Being saved, trusting Christ as your Savior, will make you a saved soul. Following Christ in your life will make you accustomed. There are many benefits to living in Christian comfort, but I'm going to tell you something else. There are many more benefits to actually being a child of the King of Kings. Who was reading there last, Norman, in Romans, where it talked about us being joint heirs with Jesus Christ? Now, all of this teaching and preaching, it seems like a lot, because honestly, Joe Public in this world today would not want to sit down and read the Bible, and many Christians would not want to sit down and read the Bible, or commit it to their hearts, or even more so, put it into practice. But it's not just for me. It's for everybody. For each and every one of us. Now, if it is just for me, I'm more than happy to have all of God's blessings, but I wouldn't rob you of that. God has so much to give us. And it's just like the dinner table. If you want dinner, turn up at the dinner table. If you want God's blessings, turn up at the throne room in prayer. God loves his children, and he wants to give them all good things. Don't do yourself a disservice by not being there. Thank you for your good time and attention. God bless you. Closing hymn is from our wee black books. It's the one we nearly sang earlier on, but I wanted to keep it for our going home. Hymn number 19 in our wee black books, God be with you till we meet again. This is my prayer for each of us as we leave. Hymn number 19 in the wee black books, God be with you till we meet again. We'll stand as we sing.
God be with you till we meet again.
for your good time, folks. God bless you. Safe travels home. The doors will be open again at about 6:45 or so this evening. But let's pray and we'll be dismissed for now. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time around your word and in your house. Please bless us as we go our ways. And please make us mindful of our walk, of our walking and talking with you and to others about you. We love you and thank you. Pray for all of our private prayer requests, for those that really do need you, and Lord, for family and friends that don't yet know you. We leave these things at your feet, Lord, and pray that you would grant them according to your will. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands. Fellowship for a little while.